Welcome to Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you lead a healthier, inspired life. I'm your host, Bill Klaproth, and this is episode 86. I'm so excited to have Brian Falchuk on with us today. Who is Brian Falchuk? Brian is an author, public speaker, certified personal trainer, and behavior change specialist. He has been coaching people on how to change their lives for the better using a philosophy he developed to overcome challenges and achieve goals that he teaches in his best-selling book, Do a Day, How to Live a Better Life Every Day. Do a Day teaches his approach to unlock your true motivation and use it to overcome life's challenges and achieve your goals free of judgment of past choices or fear of what lies ahead. Brian, thank you so much for being here. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
Definitely. And this may sound corny or cheesy to some people or too touchy-feely, but I don't care because it's good and it works. And it's to practice self-love. And I know some people are probably cringing, but like this is, if what I teach people when I coach is foundational kind of stuff to build their life from, this is the ground that the foundation gets built on. If you don't allow for yourself to be deserving and capable and good enough and all that kind of stuff, then none of the rest of it really matters. So I always tell people, just try saying something nice about yourself and stop before you say the word but. Because you're always, like, ask someone who, you know, if you get asked over for dinner and you compliment the chef on, you know, the great chicken that they made, they'll say, yeah, but, you know, I overcooked it, or I underseasoned it, or, you know, I did well in school, but there's always that but. So just stop after the good thing. And just try to leave it there. Do that every day, and eventually it stops being so uncomfortable to the point that you stop putting yourself down.
Stop the butt. When you were saying that, I thought, oh my gosh, I do that. Hey, you did such a great on that. Yeah, thanks, but you know, hey, everybody gets lucky now and then, you know.
Totally.
hey, even a blind squirrel finds a nut now and then. It's so right.
That's right.
So Brian, let's dig into this. You faced challenges in life like many of us: obesity, depression, work stress, the responsibilities of parenthood. And through your struggle, you learned the secret to not just overcoming any individual challenge, but creating a life of achievement, happiness, and harmony, something that a lot of people are searching for. So tell us your story. How did you come to discover Do a Day?
Yeah, so I was, I grew up obese, about 100 pounds overweight. And it's not because I ate too much and moved too little, although those things were true. It's because I was the youngest of four in a family that was coming apart through divorce. So, you know, me and what, half of the country. And I turned to food because kids have this really basic need to feel safe and secure and taken care of and loved. And I wasn't getting that. So I turned to food for those things because it was comforting and it was always there and it never made fun of me. It wasn't moving out, you know, all those things. And so pretty quickly, not a slowly but surely kind of problem, I put on weight, starting from like age 4.5 or 5. And I spent most of my childhood into my teen years just truly obese, not chubby, not a little fat, but straight up obese. And while I lost weight through the end of my teens, through just really amazing guy at my high school who ran the PE program, he just introduced me to exercise and wellness in a totally different way. It was basically not calling me fat and lazy and making me run laps. It was like, you know, what do you enjoy? And how can we build something that you actually like to do instead of feeling like it's punishment? And the little that he gave me bit by bit started to build. And so I, you know, got in better shape and I got more interested in it. And he just, it was this very positive, reinforcing kind of way of doing it. And that was beautiful. Problem is, it didn't deal with the underlying reasons why I'd gained weight in the first place. And that's not really his fault. It wasn't his place to do that. And that took me until I was 32 years old. It was the summer 2011. I was a father of a 2-year-old and a husband to a woman who we had come to find out had a chronic illness and had suddenly succumbed to it in a very serious way. And actually, we didn't know that she had the illness. We just knew she was really, really sick. She was basically wasting away, or she was wasting away. She was losing 2 pounds every day and gotten to a point where she couldn't get out of her bed. And her doctor was going on vacation for 6 weeks and was basically like, let's check in when I'm back. And it just hit me. It's like, she's not going to be here when you're back. You know, if this doesn't stop, she's not going to make it. And that was June 30th, 2011. And my life was pretty miserable, aside from facing losing my wife, which I will say she is still here today. I was looking at being a single dad to this amazing little boy, and how am I supposed to work full time and take care of him and think about all that's going to happen to him if he loses his mom. And I hated my job, and I had put on about half the weight that I had lost as a teenager. And, you know, stuff from the divorce when I was a little kid and come back out. And so that's when I was finally starting to process all those things. So just really quite a spiraling downhill kind of moment. And, you know, we can fall apart or we can use that to find our purpose. And that's what I did. It thrust it in my face. It's like, what really matters and what the heck am I doing in my life? And is this who I want to be? Everything changed from that moment. That was July 1st, 2011, where my life completely pivoted, and I haven't stopped since then.
Well, sometimes when things are at their darkest, that's when you see the light, and that's what sounds like what happened to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how did you dig out of this, Brian? This is a, you know, a compelling story. How did you start piecing this together? Because a lot of people listening may be at that same period in their life, not the exact same things, but really feeling down and out and miserable and not knowing where to go. So what happened? What changed?
Yeah, it was a pretty pretty inspiring moment of clarity where I was forced to ask and answer some really difficult questions about myself, because I realized this can't continue, because my wife's not going to make it if I continue on this path. And, you know, my son deserves better. He's watching his mother die and he's watching his father die just at a slower rate. And this is not, you know, it's not acceptable. So I think the gravity of my responsibility to him as his dad forced those questions upon me. And it boiled down to understanding what actually matters to me in life. And what I realized is I'm not living my life at all. The way I phrase it, and this is only a recent thing that I came up with, but I always say now that I was an employee of my life. I wasn't living it. And that is about as uninspiring and unattractive a way to live your life as I can imagine. And waking up that day, that July 1st, that's when it hit me. It's just like, I need to do better. I need to do better for that little guy. I need to do better for me. And it felt different. You know, I felt a draw. I felt an energy to it. And I said, I can either let this fizzle by ignoring it, or I can grasp it and really like ride the wave that this is creating in me. And I did exactly that. So I took that motivation, that purpose that I was feeling, and I latched onto it and tied it to some specific goals around things that I knew very blatantly were not okay in my life. And the first was my weight, my health status. And the second was my job situation, which was going to take, you know, longer to fix, but I was aware and willing to face the fact that I wasn't in the right place anymore. And, you know, the other was who I was, in terms of dealing with the things from my childhood, and that I had been making excuses why I couldn't go talk to someone or deal with it. And of course, that was causing me to be miserable because I had all of these issues and anxiety and depression that I just wouldn't face. So those were all things I could take action about. And I could latch on to that purpose, that motivation I was feeling, and use that to spell out the action plan. And that's exactly what I did.
So it sounds like for anyone listening right now is you have to take stock of your own life and where you're at. And what you did is you looked at your weights. Health obviously is important. You were unhappy in your job and you had to process past difficulties in your life, things that you hadn't dealt with. So for someone listening, stop, take stock of where you're at, understand the problems in your life first. So you have to come to grips with everything first before moving forward, right?
Yeah. And I think what's really difficult for some people here is, you know, they'll look at my story and be like, well, you know, I haven't had this like wake up moment, so I can't do it. And, you know, there's nobody that I'm coaching that has had a wake up moment, and yet they're all finding it. And the reason is what you have to be willing to do if you don't have it thrust upon you, even if you do, you have to get really introspective with yourself. And that's what matters here. So you have to be willing to question things about you and figure out what really makes you tick. And when you come up to an answer, you have to ask yourself why. So when you say, you know, for me, like, it's my son. Well, why? Like, what is it about my relationship to him that matters so much? Because just saying it's my son, I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but, you know, I don't know why that in and of itself has to matter, because I know people who don't care. You know, there are people who walk out on their family and never think twice about it. So it's not as simple as just he's my son. well, why does that matter to me? And so as I start to dig into it, I realize, like, you know, if he's facing losing his mother, and I think back to what I went through as a little kid, it's different. But I immediately identified with that pain, and I knew the things that I was dealing with as a result of it, and I never want my child to feel any of that. So it's a different situation, but I can see it leading down a path to creating all kinds of issues for him. I mean, obviously, losing your mother is so definitional and can be, you know, just really, obviously, it's profound, and it can define your life in a lot of ways. I don't really know how else to say it than that, but it would be severe. And I didn't want that for my child. And I knew that even if she did go, there are things I can do to make his experience different. And I wasn't heading there. And so then it's like, okay, well, now that's a lot more specific and purposeful than just he's my son. You know, I'm working with someone who lost his job and was trying to figure out what to go do. And he hasn't looked for a job since he was 22, and he's 57 now. So obviously mm-hmm. he's a totally different person. His life, you know, he's got two kids that are out of the house, and, you know, life's totally different. So he didn't even know where to begin. And, I asked him, well, why, you know, why is it so important to you to find a job? And that sounds like a stupid question. Like, you know, you got to pay bills. And he said, well, he didn't just say to pay the bills. He said, because I'm the breadwinner. I said, what do you mean you're the breadwinner? Why does that matter to you? And so he started to talk about how his kids look at him. He's this really successful sales guy. And so his whole sense of self was this perception of succeeding. And, you know, sales is a really tough job. And, you know, you're really good at it and you get that high, or you get turned down a lot. He's someone who did really well with it. So that had come to define who he was. And it was a lot of back and forth that we had. So he got down past the, you know, paying the bills and his role as the senior earner in his family mm-hmm. into one that was more about how he values himself and how he feels that people are looking at him, which is a, you know, totally different kind of motivation. But you don't get there by asking once what matters to you or why do you do it. You got to keep pushing. And that's that introspection.
And that introspection, it's so important. So question things about you, ask that why, when you hit that crisis or U-turn moment, and that why then can inspire you and motivate you, right? And kind of reframe your whole situation and perspective of what's happening to you, right? And then that why Absolutely. Can propel you forward.
Yeah, and it's the second piece that I think is so crucial is we all, you know, everyone, even those who have failed on trying to change something, we've all had that moment where they're like, today is the day. You know, I can't tell you how many pep talks I had with myself as a kid that was like, today you're not going to eat that junk. You know, you're not going to have six bagels for breakfast or whatever ridiculous thing. You know, I had so many of those conversations, and maybe I did well for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But if you really tapped into that deep level of why, that deep motivation, it's not about 5 minutes or a day or two. It's about you going forward. And that's why I'm coming up on, you know, what, 6.5 years since this event. I'm not struggling to just sort of like willpower my way through things like I used to, because I don't have to. I'm not worried about, I used to say I spent the first half of my life overweight and the second half trying not to be. I don't say that anymore because I'm not. My life is not trying not to be overweight. I'm just not overweight. It's because I'm in sync with what matters to me. And so I live my life by I do the things, I take the actions that are in support of my values. So this is just who I am. I don't have to force anything. And when you're really in touch with what matters with you, then you live a life aligned with that. So there's no more forcing. These are just the things that you do because you care about them. And that's a beautiful way to live.
That's a great way of living. I think that's what a lot of us are searching for, because a lot of people get into that start-stop mentality. I'm going to do better, mm-hmm. and I hit that U-turn moment, and I need to lose weight and get healthy, so I'm good for 6 months, and then slowly I slip back, or I'm drinking too much. I've got to slow down, and you do, and you're good for 4 months or 6 months or even a year, and then it slowly slips. So, Brian, how do you keep that motivation to stay where you need to stay? Is it all about that why?
It's about that why. And I know, you know, I was talking to someone about this earlier, and they were like, oh, that's such an overused term. Like, well, call it whatever you want. But it is what we're talking about. It's that underlying reason. And that is what it is for me. And one thing I tell people is you don't just come to grips with it and then you know it and you're good. You have to keep it present. So someone asked, what do you do every morning to do that? So the first thing I do when I wake up is I think about, you know, what is it that I care about and what do I have going on today and how does it relate back to that? And the nice thing with that is you know, you can't skip everything, but there may be things that you're like, why am I even doing that? Because that has nothing to do with what I care about. So maybe I need to cancel that meeting or not go to that place. Or, you know, it's like if you have to fill up your car with gas, well, you can't not do that, whether it aligns with your values or not. If you got to get places. So some things are still going to stick, but it helps you make sense of what you have going on. And the things that are aligned to your values but may be tough may not feel as tough anymore because you remember that you care so much about them or what they're helping you to achieve. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to start your day, to keep it present in your mind about what your values are.
Well, that's a great specific tactic you can use every day to start your day off right in creating that fundamental change you need to make in your life. And you say, Brian, people don't change, lives do. Is that what you mean yeah. by that? Or can you maybe just yeah. go into that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, being someone who helps people with change, I deal a bit with people who are like, well, you know, this is who I am. And you can be who you are, and you can also not define yourself as these things that are actually just situations in life, like obesity or a bad job or money troubles. That's not who you are. Those are aspects of your life. So you can still be you, and you can be true to yourself and your values and your loved ones, whatever else matters. But we can change these aspects of your life, something external to you that, you know, bring it in line with your values. So it's, we're not challenging you. We're not saying that, you know, what you care about doesn't matter. You are you, and you will stay you. We're going to change the situation around you that you want to be different and better.
Hmm. Interesting. Change the situation around you. Yeah, that's good. So you were, so part of that situation around you is obviously taking stock of where you're at, understanding where the problems are in your life. And then it sounds like you come up with that. Why are you doing this? Why do I want to be healthier? Why do I want to quit smoking? Why do I want to not be so angry at the world? Why? Okay, now I understand that. And then you were telling us about your morning ritual. So now you have to build some strategy around this, some tactics. So that morning ritual is one. What are other things we can do throughout the day to make sure that we stay focused on what's truly important to us?
Well, it's going to depend a bit on what it is you're trying to achieve. But for everyone, you do need to stay present in those values. And the more you practice that morning ritual piece of it, the more it comes naturally that you stay in sync with them. But take those pauses and bring yourself back. So what I advocate for people is a mindful approach, and that's about staying present in the current moment, not latching on to judgment from the past or fear and anxiety about the future. Mm. So it's much easier to stay present with your values when you're not sitting here judging yourself for a mistake from yesterday or maybe something that was done to you or you think was done to you. You know, that person did this to me. Or, you know, if you're trying to eat better, it's, you know, but yesterday I binged, you know, I had all these cookies and a cheeseburger and a piece of cheesecake and I'm the worst person in the world. So I might as well do it again because it's all over.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know, you could just do it all over again. Then it's all over. Or you could say, you know what? I screwed up yesterday. Maybe there was a good reason for it. You know, my son just had his birthday party and I'm vegan. I'm not 100% vegan 100% of the time. So I had a piece of cake with him. That's one of the times when I'm not going to be vegan because it mattered to him. As a little kid, he wanted me to have cake with him. And my wife's a really good baker and she made the cake and that's that. So I had it. And I understand why I did it. You know, it was about the joy for my son, which matters to me and is in sync with my values. And just because I did it doesn't mean like, okay, well, now I'm not vegan, so I best go find a cow and just start eating it. The next meal, I said, okay.
Right.
And now I'm back on the path. And when I face a specific situation where I have to make that decision again, I will. I'll make the decision in that moment for the right reasons then. And sometimes I will stay vegan. Sometimes I may say, you know what? This is a reason why I'm getting, you know, my stepmother made something and she doesn't totally understand what's vegan and what's not. And she worked really hard on it. And I'm just going to smile and take a few bites, you know, let her feel good about it. And it won't kill me. It's not going to throw me off course. And I will stay on the path otherwise. It doesn't mean you let yourself off the hook for everything, but when you slip, put it in perspective. Don't blow it out of proportion. And do the
right,
same with the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I had 100 pounds to lose like 5 pounds, that's awesome. It took a lot of work to get there, but I still had 95 pounds to lose. That's a ton, you know, not literally, but that was pretty daunting still. About as daunting as 100 pounds was. but I wasn't losing 95 pounds or 100 pounds right here, right now. I just had to do what I had to do in this day to keep me going on that path, and it will add up to 100 in time.
And you started the show out by saying, don't beat yourself up, show yourself some love. So that was an example of that. Yeah, I had something yesterday, but I'm not going to kill myself over it, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
As you say, do a day frees you of the burden and judgment of yesterday's choices. So that's a great example of that. And then also part of your messaging is learning to relieve the pressure of what tomorrow may bring. So those are great examples of that. And just knowing what you've come up with there, Brian, is what a source of anxiety for a lot of people, burdened by yesterday's choices and then looking at the pressure of the future. Boy, living at both of those, 1 foot in the past, 1 foot in the future, and being, you know, unhappy with what happened yesterday and fearful of what's coming. Ugh. I mean, that creates so much stress and anxiety, and you kind of framed it beautifully there.
When you throw away any possibility of enjoying today, like you're going to make your decisions out of fear and anxiety and insecurity, and nobody makes good choices when that's the way they're deciding. You never have yesterday, and you never have tomorrow. You only have right now. I know it sounds super cliche, but that's the reality. So mm-hmm. Do the best you can right now and tie it to your values. And it will add up to exactly where you're trying to go.
So you were talking about staying in the present right there, and that's wonderful. So how do we master mindfulness then to succeed in business and life?
So there are tricks out there that different people use, and they work differently for different folks. I'm a big fan of meditation, and that takes time and practice, and that's okay, because it you get progressively better with it, but that does help calm down the noise going on in your mind so you can focus. Some people need devices, and I don't mean gadgets, but different practices that you can employ to help you. One of them that I've seen some people use successfully is to narrate. So you can do this in your head. Some people like to do it out loud, but it depends, you know, if there's people around and if you're going to get embarrassed. But you just say what you're doing. And it actually, like, your mind can't stray onto other things and can't start worrying and whatnot, because that act of speaking it actually forces you to be present in it. So it's like, okay, I'm going to make dinner, and I'm going to get the carrots out, and I'm going to peel the carrots, and okay, I've done that. Now I'm going to cut the carrots into these, like, every little step. And that's why, like, some people are just too embarrassed to do it. And, you know, self-love, like, let go of that. Don't worry so much. The benefit is worth it. But you can do it in your head. Just, be as loud as you can in your head so that you force out the other noise. That's a mm-hmm. that's a neat little trick some people try.
Well, that is a good tip. I've never heard that one before. Narrate.
I had a professor who did that, and it was very odd, but it made for some interesting classes when there was a technical glitch and start narrating how he's like moving the mouse. But it worked for him.
Hey, if it works, that's what counts.
Yeah.
Brian, a few more questions for you, and thank you for being on with us today. You know, so many people deal with relationship problems. Can you tell me about the 50, 75, 100 solution, the key to making dysfunctional relationships work?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is the title of my next book, which hopefully will come out in 2018. But it's, okay. There's a little bit of math here. So you got to stick with me. The 50, the 75, and the 100, we're talking about percents of a two-person equation. So this is any kind of relationship, not just romantic relationships. You know, this plays out a lot in business context, but it's you and a would-be adversary. So your half of the equation, they're the other half. There's your 50. Now within you, you're split in two. One half of you is what you're actively doing. The other half of you is how you're reacting to what the other person's actively doing. So it's your reactions and your actions. Well, they're a mirror image. So they're also split in half. Half of them is what they're putting out there, and the other half is how they're perceiving what you've put out there. Now, if you think about that for a minute, you can control you. It may be hard, and you may not think that you can control your reactions to them, but you can. It may take work, but you can do that. Half of them, remember, comes from what you're doing. So by extension, you can at least influence half of them. So you've got your 50% and half of their 50%, which is 25%. That's your 75 total. And when you can fix 75% of a dysfunctional relationship, you kind of naturally end up at 100% because things get better. And, you know, a great example of this is If you think about having an argument with someone or someone's accusing you of something, you can get defensive and you can start arguing back with them. I think we all know chances are you're not going to convince them that, you know, whatever they're saying you did wrong, you didn't. It's just going to exacerbate everything. You're both going to start yelling. So your choice to react to them defensively, that's part of your half, has now led them to have a reaction to how you're behaving. That's just making it worse. What if you heard what they're saying and instead of getting defensive, you took it in? You're like, wow, I never thought of it that way. You know, I didn't realize that it could have that effect. What could I do to help? So you've just totally diffused it because you validated their feeling instead of arguing against it. And you've put yourself in this position of, now I recognize my wrong. What can I do to make it better for you? Now, in your head, you may be thinking, what a jerk. They don't know what they're saying. I didn't do anything wrong. And hopefully you're not thinking that. And with time, those thoughts will go away. But if you sort of diffuse the situation by actively recognizing the attack and stopping a reaction to it, then you cut off the ability for this thing to turn into a back and forth argument.
Mm-hmm.
So through recognizing your role in not just half of the equation, but actually the ability to alter the other side, the adversarial side, that becomes really powerful for taking down some very difficult, you know, whether it's relationships at home or relationships at work or with family members or friends or even strangers. I just had an example on a flight today where I'm sure this person thought that we were about to get in it, and I didn't. And they looked dumbfounded for a minute and then were so thankful, which was not what they expected. But that's fine. And, you know, if you're going to be stuck with someone for a couple hours or 3 hours, that's all the better if you're not arguing, right?
Much better. Much, much better. Yeah. So recognize your role in the relationship and, understand that how you react to them, your reaction and interaction with them plays a part in it. I mean, that's really good to think of it that way, because we all want to be right, right? I'm right.
Yeah.
Just listen to my point of view. I'm right. You're wrong. It's all about what I think. Well, if you take the time to hear them and listen to them and see what they think, oh, then like you say, maybe I'm off on this. All right, maybe we can come to a solution, or maybe we can learn to work better. Okay, I can understand that point of view better, and the rhetoric won't get lifted up or won't get heated, and you can just discuss it like adults instead of taking it to that next level, which always causes problems.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a question of what winning actually means.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to win the argument by arguing. Let's be honest. Mm-hmm. If you're in a fight with someone, it's not going to work out that way. That no one wins. You both walk away, you know, not talking or whatever. So you could just have the power in the argument. And that's where if you control 75% of it, you've got the power. You know, you're in control. And that'll ultimately feel pretty good.
And that's why the win-lose scenario never works out. If you always approach everything from win-lose.
Always it's a draw, isn't it?
Yep. Right. Right. And I also want to mention, you heard it here first, Brian's new book. Okay. Next year, 2018, the 50, 75, 100% solution. You heard it here first. I just want to say that.
Yes.
So, Brian, if you could just sum this up for us, how do we live a better life every day?
So self-love, no buts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to find your motivation. And so ask yourself, I got a whole bunch of questions in my book, but if you got to boil it down, ask yourself, what will you always care about no matter what? And as you go through answering that, get introspective, keep asking yourself why when you give answers until you get down to something really meaty that's under the surface. And then find your goals and tie them back to that purpose. And every day, do what you have to do in pursuit of those goals, free from the judgment of whatever happened yesterday and the anticipation and anxiety and fear of what might happen tomorrow. Just live every day from your values in pursuit of your goals, and you will change your life.
That is beautiful right there. So hit the rewind button, go back and re-listen to that, because that was fantastic. Brian, thank you so much. The book is Do a Day, How to Live a Better Life Every Day. And Brian just mapped it out for you right there. Brian Falchuk, thank you so much for being on with us today. How can we connect with you?
I put everything on the Do A Day Book website. So you can just go to doadaybook.com. You can find me on social media. I write for Inc. Magazine. You can find my articles linked from doadaybook.com. So that's the easiest place. And you can, of course, get the book there or anywhere you like to buy books. It's all over the place.
So good. And we're going to put all those links on the show notes page at radiomd.com. Brian, thank you again. And I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite quotes. I end the show every time this way, which is enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Brian, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Love talking with guys like that. What a plan. It's easier when you have a plan and you can follow it. It always makes things easier. Pick up the book. I think you're going to like it. Do A Day from my guest today, Brian Falchuk. And thank you for listening to Which Way Is Life. Catch every episode. Just hit subscribe on iTunes or my show page at radiomd.com. And if I could ask a quick favor, please rate and review the show on iTunes. That way I gain a wider audience and it gives us a chance to help more people. Which Way Is Life is produced by radiomd.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at radiomd.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening and stay well.